Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And now we continue our month of May series with Meg Jay, author of the new book, The Defining Decade, Why Your 20s Matter and How to Make the Most of Them. Today's topic, confidence on the job. We'll take a look at how 20-somethings deal with setbacks at work and how to build confidence, even confidence to find a job in this economy. Dr. Jay, welcome back to WNYC. So glad we could continue this series.
Yes, me also. It's great to be here, Brian.
So we're going to focus on two of the clients you write about in your book and take some calls from listeners. The clients are Ian, who can't figure out what to do with his life, and Danielle, who has her dream job, or what she thought was her dream job, but is paralyzed by the conviction that she's doing it wrong and can barely make it through each day. Each different, but typically 20-something problems?
Very much so. Ian is the part A of the 20-something problem of what am I supposed to do, and then people imagine I'll get my job and everything will be great, but then they realize I got the job, now what do I do with it?
And listeners, are you in your 20s or know someone who is? Were you or are you an Ian who can't figure out what to do with his life, or a Danielle who has her dream job but doesn't believe that she's doing it right? Do you have your own advice for finding or handling a job in your 20s? Call us 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. So, Ian, he doesn't know where to start. He says he feels like he's in the middle of the ocean and doesn't know which way to start swimming. Picking one direction means losing other options forever. How did you help him?
Well, you know, I helped Ian by first helping him realize that probably wasn't the right metaphor, that he wasn't really in the middle of an ocean where all directions were equal and they all looked the same, that it's really not true, that he didn't know anything about which way to turn. I think where I start with a lot of 20-something clients is giving them the confidence to realize they already know where to start, that they've been on the planet for 20 or 25 years, and they know something about the next thing for them to do, or at least to try.
You cite the famous jam experiment in explaining his problem. The jam experiment was, again?
The jam experiment was done by Sheena Iyengar. She's at Columbia Business School now, used to be at Stanford. But we switched Ian's metaphor from the ocean to the jam experiment. And in this experiment, Sheena had researchers set up tables at grocery stores. Some had 24 flavors of jam and some had 6 flavors of jam. And what they found was that the 24 flavor tables attracted a lot of attention and people huddled around, but few people tasted or bought jam. The 6 flavor tables didn't draw as much attention, but when the people did visit or walk by, they would try the jam and they would choose something. So part of being a 20-something is realizing you've got to narrow your choices. You don't even have as many choices as everyone says that you do, but to really figure out what 6 or 7 things am I probably realistically choosing from in my life right now.
Let's take a phone call from Andrew in Manhattan, who came up with a game plan for looking for work. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's up?
Well, I actually went to Emerson College, and I graduated last year. I just turned 23 early this May. And one thing that my school was really good at was having alumni events across the country. So Chicago, L.A., New York, Boston. And every job, every interview that I've ever gotten, no lie, I have gotten from meeting people at these events. And
yeah,
it's not just about, like, knowing what you want to do, what industry. It's about what you want to do specifically. It's not like, I want to work in digital. It's like, I want to work in, like, doing this.
Right.
Or something very, very detailed and specific so they can help you.
Dr. J.
Right. Yes, Andrew is hitting the nail on the head. First, he's pointing out that jobs come from relationships, usually friends of friends or alumni, even people you don't know but feel connected to you somehow. And they're going to be able to get you or to know what you want or to be able to help you if you can be specific and have the courage. And that's what Ian and I did together, was to give him the courage to claim something and pick something and tell a story to someone about what he wanted so that they could say, oh, I can help you. If you tell somebody you want something general, they say, well, come back when you figured it out and more specifically.
Andrew, thanks for that. Now, some of your advice in the book is along, well, let me skip over that actually to Danielle, who had her dream job working as an assistant to a TV news big shot. And I have to say, I almost hope she was working for Keith Olbermann, whose work troubles have been well publicized, because I would hate to think that there are more so temperamental bosses like that in TV news, which is what you describe about Danielle's boss in the book. But she's miserable with his demands, which she takes on as her failures.
Right. Well, Brian, I hate to tell you, and people should call in about this, bosses like that are rampant. So I'll never tell which TV news personality it was, but there are plenty of bosses out there like this. Danielle was experiencing what a lot of 20-somethings experience at work, and that's this feeling of kind of feeling like you live in a war zone and you never know when a bomb is going to go off. It feels a bit traumatic to walk into work and not know what you're going to get in trouble for, what your boss is going to reprimand you for, what's going to happen next. It's very, very stressful because by definition, most 20-somethings are in over their heads because they're doing things they've never done before.
And how did you help Danielle?
Well, I helped her calm down. So we talked about being realistic about how confident she could reasonably be starting a career and being at the very beginning of a new job. We helped her learn to reappraise when things went wrong in the moment. She would tend to say, I'm going to get fired, I don't have it, my life is over, I'm going to be waiting tables. And we would obviously help her think of different ways to interpret the event, that most jobs aren't so fragile that you're going to get fired every time you do one little thing wrong. There were a lot of other jobs she could go out and get, although I know times are tough and it's scary. But we really just kind of helped her weather those moments of feeling like she was living in a war zone.
Meg Jay, author of The Defining Decade, Why Your 20s Matter and How to Make the Most of Them Now, doing our Every Thursday in May series with us. Today the topic is confidence at work in your 20s, 212-433-WNYC. And Mike in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Mike, thanks for calling.
Hey, folks, how's it going?
Good. What's up?
I share the sentiment with Danielle. I have a dream job. I work for a beer, wine, and spirits importer. I'm 28 years old. Started 6 years ago. We are a startup. So, you know, there are those moments where you don't really know if you're doing the right thing because there is no protocol and there is no, you know, standard operating procedure. And we're kind of writing the culture as we go as well. So that's kind of some added stress. But the one thing that I've found that's been really helpful for me is work is, it seems like it's a lot of common sense. And if you kind of just follow your intuition as to what you think the right thing to do with, as far as common sense is concerned, is kind of the best path that I've been able to follow. So for me, I mean, that's been my biggest suggestion to all my friends who are just starting up work, especially my sister who's just starting up work again. It's just kind of follow your intuition, use your common sense. I mean, 9 times out of 10, that's really what it is. That's really
right.
What the answer is.
Right. Yeah, and Mike is right. I think what happens is that 20-somethings feel so stressed out at work. We know that their brains react more strongly than those of older adults to kind of surprising, upsetting situations. And so they can get a little confused and forget exactly what Mike's talking about, that work in a lot of ways is the same as getting through high school. It's the same as getting through college. Bad things happen. You listen to yourself. You work on your strengths, and you move forward. It unfolds in very similarly. Mike is right.
And it sounds like Mike is developing really well, coming to that certain sense of confidence that trusts his own common sense to rule the day. In fact, what you told Danielle, according to the book, is that what she thinks she's lacking is confidence, but what she's really lacking is experience. Can you explain the distinction?
Yeah, you know, a lot of 20-somethings think when I get confident, you know, they'll kind of come to me and say, if you can make me confident, then I can go out and get a job. And I say, well, I can help you get started in a job, but only the job is going to build confidence. That confidence really comes from the outside in, not from the inside out. And so it sounds like Mike has been doing this long enough. He said he'd been on that job 5 or 6 years maybe, that he realizes that he's going to figure it out. And that is confidence. That is having trust in yourself to be able to get through the day or to get through the task. And that's something you only get on the job through having done it many times before.
Maria in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Maria.
Hi. I have maybe a stupid but real road back to me that networking seems like maybe it's a fantastic opportunity for the continuation of and, you know, institutionalization of racism. And I'm sorry if it's offensive, and I really am sorry, but now I am mixed race, and that fact plus the fact that personality-wise I am shy and awkward, which is heightened by real and perceived, you know, reaction to my skin color or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Because the networks that people have tend to be with people of the races that they came from.
Right, yeah, and if you don't feel comfortable, and, you know, I have these mm-hmm. not real, I mean, definitely just perceived and not real, you know, what I think people are reacting to my skin color, but anyway. So,
well, it's certainly not a stupid question at all.
No,
it's certainly nothing to apologize for,
right.
And Dr. J, I'll bet you run into this in your practice.
I do. It's interesting. The research about networks, about what's called the strengths of weak ties, that's Mark Granovetter's work. Interestingly, people imagine networks are about, well, I'm going to call my dad's CEO buddies. But Mark Granovetter's research on that was actually on blue-collar workers. So it really is true that in all areas of society, people get their jobs through other people. But Maria is bringing up a great point that not all people feel that they have or do have access to big enough networks. And then our personalities are a moderator in there. And that if we don't feel comfortable calling people up and asking them for favors,
right.
then
and
we're
also
not able
to
use our network.
Also, if there are certain networks that revolve around the people in power, and the people in power tend to come from certain groups, and
sure.
you're not a member of that group, then it makes it harder.
Absolutely. Then you feel like, I don't know if I can approach this person. I don't know if this person's going to take me seriously. I absolutely think that's true. And, you know, all I can say is have the confidence in that you're asking good questions, Maria, and that people probably do want to hear what you have to say, and use the networks of the people, you know, who are interested in helping you. And there are people out there.
Maria, good luck. You know, last week we talked about the 20-something brain. Actual physiological brain development through the decade, and it comes into play with the Danielle story, doesn't it? Bad news looms larger when we're younger.
Yes, and this is so interesting, and I see it, you know, all day, every day, working with people, but most people don't know this, but young brains react more strongly to negative and surprising information than do the brains of older people. And that's probably because by the time you're older, experience has happened, and you realize things are probably or hopefully going to work out. But we have more vivid memories from our 20s than at any other time in life, and that's probably because our brain is wiring itself for adulthood. It's grabbing up surprising moments to say, oof, I've got to remember that so I don't make this mistake again. So 20-somethings can feel very fragile, and rightly so, because their brains are reacting very strongly to what goes wrong.
And by the way, for Maria, the final segment in this series, next Thursday at this time, is going to be on what you call in your book, urban tribes.
Uh-huh.
So,
yes, all about networks. That's right.
So we will get back to that network and kind of the, you know, the difficulty of cracking what can feel like other people's networks. Aaron in Westchester, you're on WNYC. We got about 30 seconds for you. Hi.
Oh, I was just listening. I'm 25th, and I'm a public school teacher. And in listening about Danielle and her story, one thing that's not a reason to do it, into teaching in and of itself, but that there's this public narrative and the expectation that the first few years are going to be hard, and that there's that extra support because of it. And it was a moment where I felt positive or supported as an educator and working in a school.
We have to leave it there, but I guess, Dr. J, would that all professions had that kind of support for the rookies built in, right?
Absolutely. That's what 20-somethings really need. Absolutely.
Meg Jay, her book, The Defining Decade. She'll be back one more time in the series a week from today. Thank you so much.
Thanks. It's a pleasure.
Lisa Allison, Jody Avergan, Paige Cowett, and Alana Casanova-Burgess produced this program. Our senior producer is Megan Ryan. We had intern help from Rebecca Kress and Jeff Friedrich today. That's Debbie Fountain at the audio controls. Follow me on Twitter @BrianLehrer and Facebook.com/BrianLehrer Show. Talk to you tomorrow.